You're listening to the Stock Day Podcast. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube for breaking news and actionable market intelligence on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Today's episode is sponsored by Knightscope. The rise of the robots is happening, and it's happening now. Knightscope is deploying AI robots to help make the U.S. the safest country in the world. Join us and be a force for good. Visit Knightscope.com/rise. Long Knightscope, short the criminals.
On today's show, my guest is co-founder and chief executive officer of ShiftPixie, Scott Abscher. ShiftPixie trades on the NASDAQ under the trading symbol PIXY. ShiftPixie combines the modern perks of the gig economy with traditional employment benefits. Their app serves as an all-in-one workforce management platform for operators, aka business owners, that rely on contingent employees. But it's also a dynamic employment resource for shifters, aka part-time workers, who want the freedom to make their own schedule. Using ShiftPixie, shift workers can receive valuable benefits such as health insurance and workers' compensation. Meanwhile, operators are able to rest easy knowing that they remain compliant with labor laws and free of time-consuming admin tasks. CEO Scott Abscher brings 30 years of experience in organizational development, capital development, and employment industry expertise to the company. Abscher started his career in product development and support, serving large national retail chains before turning his focus to the employer services industry. Scott, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Good afternoon, Matthew. Good to be with you.
Great to connect with you for the first time. So we'll hop right into it. I touched on this in our intro, but I wonder if you might expand a little bit for our audience on what exactly ShiftPixie is and a bit of the origin story. I'm interested in learning more about how this technology works differently for prospective employers and shift workers.
Sure. Yeah, I had spent about 30 years in the human capital management space. And in that industry, we would take care of all the employee administrative and support duties for small to medium-sized businesses. And those duties ran the range from payroll to benefits to employer-side taxes, workers' compensation coverage, which is compulsory in all 50 states. But we would handle that bundle for small businesses. Mm-hmm. One of the rules of thumb in that industry at the time was that we stayed away from any industry that had a high concentration in part-time labor. And the reason for that was that in those types of businesses, turnover was at 100%. So mm-hmm. people that might start in January wouldn't be off the payroll by December. And so because of that, and we're handling all those issues, those administrative issues, it adds to the work burden. And we couldn't make money with companies like that. But my co-founder at the time had spent a lot of time with mostly chain restaurant operators, franchise chain restaurant operators, and that was all part-time labor. And he enjoyed the benefit of none of the rest of us going into that market. And so he found a way to make a nice, run a nice business in that space. And then back in 2015, he had called me with a kind of a question, and it was more of a technology question related to trying to manage the schedules for a part-time workforce. And the reason he was asking about this was all of his clients were coming and asking him if they could help him find employees. And that's really not what we did in that industry. You find them, you hire them, and we'll manage and maintain them. So that was a new question coming from all of his clients. And so his thinking was that maybe he could create a scheduling apparatus around our service platform that would allow them to share employees. And when he called me with that idea, my brain exploded because in Southern California, I did a lot of work with property and casualty agents, and they'd bring me odd workers' compensation clients. They're trying to figure out how they develop coverage for. And one of those happened to be one of the ride-sharing platforms that was very early at the time.
Oh, wow.
And our point to them was that their question was, do we have a workers' compensation insurance coverage exposure? And I, when they described their business, what they did, and we reported that, yes, you do have one in all 50 states. but they decided that they didn't want to the coverage. They wanted to use everyone as a 1099 or an independent mm-hmm. contractor. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time, after having spent all these years managing these issues, and now companies emerge on the scene where they just thumb their nose at the government and say, "No, we're going to call them contractors. You call them employees, we call them contractors, and we won't do any of the, take care of any of the obligations." So when he called me with that, I said, you know, there's something going on in the marketplace, and I think this is going to be very big. And so what we set out to do was to take everything that we knew about how to manage human capital and develop and deliver it on a very mobilized platform, because it was what was obvious as we got into the business was that all these new gig platforms that had emerged had actually created this an excessive amount of turnover. That 100% of turnover rate that we were concerned with before 2015 had all of a sudden gone to 300-400%, and it was all attributed to these new platforms that catered to the preferences of the part-time workforce. Anybody that was committed to working part-time, say they were in college or high school or between jobs or retired, they now had lots of other options. They didn't have to go knocking on the brick and mortar doors to go to work. And so now if you were a brick and mortar industry that relies on part-time labor, you've got lots of challenges. And so that's what we developed the ShiftPixie platform to do, to re-engage and reconnect with this new workforce, this new flexible, agile, itinerant workforce, and to make it easy for brick and mortar to connect with them and create opportunities between the two.
How are you getting the word out to brick and mortar businesses about this product, and where are you finding them?
The legacy part of our business, it was focused at restaurant operators. So we direct marketed, we had to hit the street, knock on doors with franchisees of all the major brands. And so that's where we spent a good deal of our time. For us, however, COVID really put a chill on that business. Yeah. And at the time, what we had done, our technology was at a state of readiness. I had a background doing work with industrial staffing companies. And these are companies that would provide workers to, say, an Amazon, a Tesla, any kind of e-commerce company. A lot of these Fortune 1000 companies rely heavily on flexible or itinerant labor as they have surges in their business. And I did a lot of work with companies that provided those and saw that there was a big opportunity for us in that industry, because They none of them made investments in technology. They never had to. And technology was racing so far and so fast ahead of them that we knew that we'd have an opportunity to be a very large player in that industry. And so what we did, we haven't walked away from our legacy business, but what we have done is sprang forward and have spent a lot of time now over the past 2 years with industrial staffing companies, medical staffing companies, and technology staffing companies. And what we're now looking at doing is acquiring several of these so we can create our own national footprint. Mm. The beauty of that business for us is that our number one, it's more profitable than our legacy business. But more importantly, these clients are much larger. These are all brand names that you'd recognize, and we'll be doing business with a very different type of clientele. And we really do like what we've learned about the business over the past 2 years. And in fact, one of the things that we had done, if anybody had tracked with our story, we had been a SPAC sponsor a couple of years ago. And the purpose of that SPAC and the capital that we raised was to go out and acquire independent staffing firms, industrial staffing firms around the country. Most of these companies are regional. They're strong in a city or a market. Very few of them are strong nationally. But the demand for this service is very strong nationally, but nobody's really meeting that demand. So the capital that we raised was intended to allow us to do that and build essentially a super or mega client for the company. What we ran into, though, was that the SEC had misgivings about our being a sponsor as a small public company and persuaded us to unwind. And so we did. We went through that process, unwound the SPAC, returned all the capital. But what remained was over 100 companies that we had looked at and vetted and done diligence on that we were still very bullish on. So coming into this year, after we cleaned up the SPAC, we decided to go back into this portfolio of companies, if you will, and start putting together an opportunity to acquire them right into Shift Pixie. So that work has been going on. We also have secured debt commitments to allow us to debt finance that, since the equity markets are a little wobbly right now. That work for us actually will start accelerating here in the month of October, and we're really excited about it. We're bringing some desperately needed change to that industry and the way that people engage with work.
Well, you had some news in July about technology and the way that people use it in this capacity. You issued a glimpse of the AI innovation in action, instant interview feature, which was unveiled. Mm-hmm. And I think this is fascinating because, you know, the hiring process definitely has so much more potential to become both more personalized and efficient for employers and candidates alike. So I wonder if you could provide some additional insights on that AI innovation.
Sure. AI, I know it's a very big subject right now, but it's been on our workbench and in our tech stack since 2017. Our first use for AI was in the onboarding process. That when somebody downloads the app and starts the process of becoming a W-2 employee on our platform, there's a lot of forms to take care of. And in the state of California, where I know you're from and we came from, that package is usually about 30 pages of things that people have to sign and validate and fill out. And so what we did is we took that process, which we saw as a friction point to move people onto the payroll very quickly, and we power it with IBM's Watson, powers our chatbot. So a new user, a new employee, a new hire would go onto the app, and they'd start a conversation with Pixie. And after about 20 minutes, they'd have completed and signed all of their new hire paperwork. And so the AI is used to ask and answer the questions and lead people through the journey. So with respect to instant interview, one of the things that we found was that the interviewing process on its own, to your point, was a friction point. Just getting people synchronized and in the same place at the same time was very difficult, and especially in these unskilled labor markets. We were seeing that the hiring managers or the store managers or the location managers were making it very difficult to bring people aboard. And for low-skilled labor, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to go through a resume or a long CV. You need to be able to look the person in the eye, and in 5 minutes, you should know whether or not I'm willing to give a chance to that person and put them to work flipping burgers or whatever. And so what we decided to do was to take the instant interview approach, where we could allow people to use their smartphones and run through a video selfie where they answer, you know, 5 questions, no more than 6, about who they are, what kind of work they're looking for, what kind of work they've done, and, you know, just a few quick questions, and then pass that profile on to the hiring manager so they can say yes, no. And we can start moving people to work a lot faster. But one of the things that we're also doing with AI is moving people through that process, because sometimes people will come through the onboarding, and before they start accessing opportunity, we need them to put their video profile. So our AI will track them down, will motivate them, nudge them, and encourage them to do their video profile. And then also our AI, it helps make matches. It goes and looks through the opportunities locally and then comes back to them via text message and says, hey, there's an opportunity here. It's paying this. And are you interested in the gig? So we use all those things that would normally have been done manually by a group of, say, recruiters or staff members, is now all being done with the robot. And it's actually quite fascinating to watch, because it feels very natural. If you were on the other side chatting, you would think you're chatting with a person or a friend. It has humor. It's very human feeling, but it's still moving people through these processes of a standard work week.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a no-brainer, right? The technology's there, and you seem to be first to market with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody yet doing that. I keep hearing rumors, but you know, it's been interesting watching all the chatter about AI. And I think that,
sure,
you know, companies are going to, I think if they spend time thinking about all their processes and their workflows, and especially thinking about their friction points and how they communicate with customers, how they communicate internally. I used to have these conversations in the early days of web development. I had a web dev shop in Southern California back in the late 90s, and this is before companies had websites. And I remember people saying, "Well, we're building email servers and websites because nobody had them." And I'd have very large companies that would start going through this, and I said, "Well, tell me about how you communicate with your customers." And I said, "Well, tell me about how you communicate internally." And they'd say, "Why are we asking these questions? I just want a dumb website." I said, "That's what you're missing the point. This is transformative technology, and it'll change the way you communicate and the way you conduct commerce, the way you run your business." And it took a long time for people to understand that. And I think we're having the same type of conversation today over AI. Everybody's wringing their hands over it. But if large corporations in particular have the ability to think through their workflows and kind of break down some of the barriers and silos that run their business, and they can use AI to accelerate processes, accelerate engagement, and thrill customers, and better engage employees. And I do think that we're on one of those transformation horizons here with AI. Don't be scared.
Oh, there's so much to talk about. We can go down that rabbit hole pretty deep, but that's a really great glimpse of how you've incorporated it. Today, you released a press release this morning, correct?
Yes.
At the time of this recording, the headline was "Shift Pixie Inc. announces delay of reverse stock split effective date." I wonder if you'd fill us in on the specifics of that PR. And then lastly, perhaps let us know if there are any other noteworthy catalysts on the horizon for Shift Pixie that we should be aware of.
Yeah, so that release that went out at 1 o'clock this afternoon was really we were asked to put that out by NASDAQ. What we've been in the process of doing is conducting a reverse stock split. We're kind of recapitalizing the company. Part of that process to satisfy the outstanding shares issue, I donated all of my shares to, I think it's 8 charities. And that satisfied NASDAQ's market float issue, because after our reverse stock split is completed, there's only like 150,000 free trading shares in the float. Part of that mechanism was to make these donations. It's important for people to know I've never sold a share ever in the company, but I have donated all my shares a couple of times to charity. And again, it was a mechanical thing. And I thought, you know, since I can't use them and I can't monetize them, I'm happy that a lot of other good folks that are doing good in the world are able to monetize those. So the problem for us was that a couple of the charities were a little slow to move and get their paperwork completed to receive the stock. And so because of that, NASDAQ asked us to bump our reverse stock split out a couple of weeks. And so we did that to allow us to finish up that work with these charities.
Got it. And that was all clarified on the PR that was released today.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
In terms of a forthcoming noteworthy catalyst, fill us in on what you got coming down the pike.
Well, what we've been working really hard on, Matthew, as I alluded to earlier, we've been so immersed in the industrial human capital space, especially this contingent labor force in management of that. We already have 3 letters of intent with companies that are moving toward definitive agreements, and we're wrapping up financial diligence on those. We've also been very busy putting together a very extremely large debt facility that allow us to acquire these companies. The plan was to start, or is to start and close our first one in October, with the idea that we can put ourselves on a pace to close one a month, starting in October and then going through 2024. As I said before, when we had sponsored the SPAC, we had vetted over well over 100 deals transactions. And again, it's just all we're doing is going into regional markets, buying the large market operators in those markets and rolling them all into our national platform. And so we're essentially acquiring, these are all asset purchases. We're acquiring the customers and the work population in these markets. And it's like I said, it's work that we had done, spent a lot of time on, a lot of money on back in 2020 and in 2021, but then got stalled. And again, the SEC asked us to unwind. So we didn't want to let all that opportunity go to waste. So it's all going to rest inside ShiftPixie.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else pressing or immediate that you'd like to share with this opportunity that we have today?
Nothing immediate. I think, we're going to be busy here for the end of the year. Okay. I was hoping it would be a little quiet, but we got so much, work to get done to wrap up these transactions. So we're going to be very busy. But those are the things, I guess people have been following us long enough. They know that we've been working on these things and it's harvest time.
My guest today has been co-founder and chief executive officer of ShiftPixie, Scott Abscher. ShiftPixie trades on the NASDAQ under the trading symbol PIXY. Scott, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the podcast today and would love to have you back soon to give us an update. You've got so much going on. Pretty fascinating portrait that we painted today. Where can people get a hold of you and the company?
At ShiftPixie.com. There are forms there that track to me under investor relations, those types of inquiries. I always see them. So that's a good place to catch me.
Awesome. I hope we get a chance to visit again soon.
Matthew, I enjoyed it. I look forward to it.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Spotlight Media Corporation, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when investing to determine investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.